you turn to the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John. I'm going to be reading verses 15 through 17. Please hear God's word. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Let's pray for a moment. Lord God, again, a very important portion of your word is here before us. We ask, Lord God, again, our hearts might be turned to you even now. Our minds, Heavenly Father, may be quickened by your Spirit, that we might understand. Lord, speak to us this morning. Speak to us in such a way that we would be enlightened to a better understanding of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me give you a little bit of a background here on the context here of the scripture that we're reading. First of all, just like last week, having been reading the latter parts of the four Gospels in relationship to Holy Week, the week between Palm Sunday and Easter, the account, historical account of our Lord Jesus Christ's last week as he walked upon this earth, as he ministered in his earthly ministry. And then having read of his resurrection last week and being prompted to share with you some things that the Lord has shown me about the love of Mary Magdalene and the demonstration of that deep and devout relationship of love between her and her Master, her Savior, Jesus Christ, and being exhorted for us, as an individual, to examine our love for our Lord. And then having continued to read here these accounts, again coming across the same subject here, I could not pass up the opportunity to share with you a little bit more about the love of Christ. And here in a slightly different way, and yet a lot of similarities. And we have here an account of Jesus showing himself to the disciples after his resurrection, revealing himself to them. This is at least a minimum of 2 weeks after the resurrection. He had revealed himself in their physical presence a week afterwards as he met with them in the upper room and showing him the wounds and his hands and his side and his feet. And also what's very, very important is that when God had met with them, he taught them. And here he, again, John records a time, and again, like I say, this could be a week later, it could be 2 weeks later, but Jesus manifests himself again to some of the disciples here as they are fishing here in the Sea of Tiberias. And this is the time where he tells them to cast his net on one side, and they catch an abundance of fish, and they haul him to the shore. They know very well who he is. And Jesus says, come, let's eat a meal together. Let's have breakfast. And so they have breakfast, and you can speculate that during their meal they were talking, asking Jesus questions, and he was teaching them and so forth. Now we get to a point where the meal is over. And probably should get my notes out here, that might be helpful. And we have a very, very remarkable conversation, specifically between Jesus and that familiar disciple, Peter, Simon Peter, the great fisherman. And we see that here that Jesus addresses Peter in a somewhat unusual way. He addresses him by saying, Simon, son of Jonas. And there are various thoughts of what Christ's intention is here in addressing him in that way. Some not very important, and some putting great weight in just the manner of which Jesus addresses Peter the fisherman as Simon, son of Jonas. On the surface, his name was Simon, and he was the son of Jonas. That's accepted, and there's no problem with that. But what is Christ's intention here of calling him in such a way that is not his normal addressing to Peter in the past? One thought is that it was to remind Peter of another great occasion of importance. If you remember back during his ministry, there was a time when Jesus asked the disciples the question, who do men say that I am? And of course there was a lot of various answers to that question. And then Jesus, after having received several answers from his followers, asked them, who do you say that I am? And Peter, if you remember, answered Christ in a very, very remarkable and significant answer, and that is that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you couldn't get a more accurate and truthful answer to who Christ was. It's such an important distinction of his name. And if you remember that Christ praised Peter for that answer, and he says to him, Peter, son of Barjona, meaning son of Jonah, something similar to this. And it may be that he reminded Peter of the great importance of in Peter's spiritual growth. Simon, son of Barjona, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, and so on and so on. And he was praising him for his statement. Another idea of why Jesus addressed Peter in this way was to purposely avoid using the name Peter. Going back to that same incident, after Jesus praised Peter for his spiritual insight of who Jesus was, he says, from now on you shall be called Peter, the rock. And on this rock I shall build my church. So there was a very important significance to calling this particular individual Peter, a special name that Jesus has given him, which he called him by that name from then on, except here. So some think that it was a purposeful avoidance of using the name Peter, because Peter, of course, had failed in being that rock, that firm stand for Christ, because of his denial of Christ before the crucifixion. Some simply say that it was to distinguish Simon Peter from the other Simon. There is another apostle, not given by name here, named Simon, one of the other 12. It could very well that he could have been one of the ones that are not mentioned here. It says here in verse 2 of verse 21, two other disciples that were there. One of them could have been Simon. And so, in other words, so that there wouldn't be any confusion, Jesus specifically said, Simon Peter. It's you I'm addressing, not the other one. Then there's another thought, and it happens to be the one that I favor. And that is that it was to take Peter's mind back to the time when he first addressed Peter by that exact same name. He said, Simon, son of Barjona, throw down your nets and come and follow me. The first time that Jesus Christ ever spoke to Peter, Simon Barjona, fisherman. It was that time when Jesus met him for the very first time and said, Peter, forsake these things that you are involved in and come and follow me. And Peter did just that. And I think it was to take Peter's mind back to that time when he first called him to leave his nets and to follow him, which was some 3 years earlier. And the reason why I favor this to be the more meaningful thought of why Jesus addressed him that way is because it fits so much with the rest of his discourse and the reason and intention of this remarkable conversation with Peter and with Christ. So let's get into this conversation a little bit. Christ's questions to Peter and Peter's answers to Christ. Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? This is the question he asks three times. The first time he adds a little bit more to it. He says, do you love me more than these? Let's look at those three words, more than these. Again, various thoughts of what is being referred to here. More than what? More than these. What is Jesus signifying here in the word these? Some indicate, again, which fits also with some of the reasons why he addresses Peter in that name, Simon, son of Jonah, and that is that what he means by these is these. Are you back to fishing again? Do you love me more than your profession? Peter was a very successful fisherman. He loved fishing, I'm sure we can speculate. Just like many men are very much attached to their occupation, their craft, their skills. And so we see here that it's very possible that Jesus meant, do you love me more than fishing? As if are you going back to your former ways again, now that you have denied me, and now that you feel that you're a failure, are you going back again to your former ways? This is a possibility. Or could he be saying, do you love me more than you love your friends? These, the disciples that are with you, those that you have just gone fishing with, do you love me more than these? As to be willing, are you willing to forsake everyone that is dear to you for me. Now, I want you to notice something as we go through these possibilities, that Jesus is bringing Peter along, and we're starting to see a little bit of an idea of redeeming Peter back to Christ. We're seeing a rededication of that zealous fisherman that was willing to die for Jesus, as he proclaims in his word before his denial. There's another idea here of what could be meant, which, again, I seem to lean a little bit more to. Even though these other ones fit the circumstance, I think this one fits a little bit more. And that is, when he says, "Do you love me more than these?" he's asking, "Do you love me more than others love me? Simon, son of Jonah, do you think that your love for me is greater than anybody else is able to, as you so zealously demonstrate?" You remember Peter, always quick to jump and say, "I'm better than anybody else, Lord. I am dedicated to you. Others may forsake you, but I never will, because I love you more than anybody else does." Remember Peter's words, his attitude? And now Jesus is saying, "Peter, do you love me more than anybody else? Do you love me more than Mary Magdalene?" As we remember last week, that great, extreme, deep devotion that she had for her Lord. "Do you love me more than these and my other disciples? Do you think that you can love me more than anybody else? Are you that special?" Asked to think that he once thought himself more faithful than anybody else. Did Peter not think that? The question itself, "Do you love me?" This is very interesting, because Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter answers Christ, "Yes, I love you." But what we don't see here, because of something lost in the English translation, is that the love that Jesus speaks of here, the word that is used, is a completely different word that Peter uses when he answers it. It's a different Greek translation of the word love. As a matter of fact, to be more specific, in verses 15 and 16, the question that is asked the first two times, Jesus uses the word agapao, love. Agapao is that definition with the Greek definition of a broad sense of love. It is the benevolent love. It is that disposition to do good. It's love in a moral sense. It is the same word that is used when the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him shall not perish but have everlasting life." That's the word that Jesus uses here. What Jesus is saying, in a certain sense, is, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me because it is morally right for you to love me?" There is an attitude of duty to love, because it's right to love. It is a right love, a moral love. If you think about it a moment, the attitude and the thinking of Peter was always, whatever it takes, I'm going to be right. I'm going to do it the right way. I'm not going to waver. I am unwavering. I am firm in my conviction, in my devotion to whom I give that devotion to. And in this case, the Lord Jesus Christ. His whole ministry, his whole life with the Lord was like that. The one that was quick to draw the sword and to cut off the servant's ear to protect Jesus. The one that stood up, again, like we mentioned, saying, others may forsake you, but I never will, because I love you like this. And Jesus says, asks him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you agapaho me? And Peter answers, Lord, I phileo you. Peter uses a different word. He says, Lord, I love you. I phileo you. Phileo is the Greek word for love that signifies a personal affection for someone. It's on the, please don't misunderstand me, on the human level. Something that you and I have a handle on. We know what that's like. We know the personal love that we can have for another. The love between a husband and a wife. The love between a father and a son. The love between a mother and her child. The phileo love as personal affection. Peter is answering Jesus really in the way that Jesus wants him to answer him. Jesus is testing and verifying Peter's better understanding of love. Peter, have you learned your lesson about love? Have you come to the point of humility now before me, and now you really know what love and what that love that you have and that you should have is all about? Peter, the one that always jumps ahead, Jesus says, Peter, back off. Start over. Do you love me because it's right and moral to do so? In your usual boasting fashion? Peter answers, Lord, I love you. Not in that way, not in the former way that I thought I did, that I was so bold to think that I could to have such a righteous love for you. Only you, God, can have that righteous love, that divine love, that agape love. And it is only you that can instill that in us. I love you, Peter is answering, not out of duty. Lord, I know now what love is all about. I know I can understand where I should be. I love you because I truly desire it. With a humble and a contrite heart. As a mere human recipient of mercy and of grace, with nothing to offer in and of myself, but only to yield and surrender myself in gratitude and in servitude. That's what Peter's answer was when he said, Lord, yes, I love you. Now, in verse 17, the third time that Jesus asks Peter if he loves him, Christ uses the same word that Peter uses. The third time here in verse 17, when he says, Simon, son of John, son of Jonah, do you love me? Jesus says, okay, Peter, do you phileo me? Do you love me with the personal affection? And then now it says, before Peter answers, he says, it grieved him. Peter, it says here that Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" Not necessarily because he asked him the third time. Not necessarily because he asked him three times. He had to ask him three times. But because the third time he asked him in that way of using the word love. Do you see that? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you phileo me?" Peter was taken back very, very specifically to the time when he denied Christ the third time, three times. Whether you read that meaning that Peter was grieved because it was the third time, or whether you read that because Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" by using the word phileo, it leads to one thing. And that is, he was grieved because he was pricked one final time when this great apostle denied his Lord three times. A failure to demonstrate not only duty. All of a sudden, Peter would realize he was not the one that had that agapaho love for Christ. It was beyond him. It's beyond any of us in and of ourselves. Peter's answer the third time is now of extreme confidence, though. Because he said to him, "Lord, you know all things." A confident appeal to the God that knows our hearts. God knows our hearts. Peter was saying, "Lord, I know who you are. You're God." You have to remember here, very important to remember, before Jesus' death, before his resurrection, the apostles, even Peter, maybe especially Peter, did not have a full understanding of who Jesus was. It wasn't until after the resurrection, until after Jesus manifests himself to the disciples on the various occasions such as this, that Jesus finally opens their minds and their hearts to have the full understanding of what he is all about. As a matter of fact, if you would turn with me to actually, I'm not really sure where the tense was here, but there's a place here where Jesus reveals himself to his apostles after the resurrection, and he teaches them. He teaches them, "Remember when I taught you these things? You remember when I taught you about Moses?" He goes way back to the Old Testament. "Remember when I taught you about the prophets? Remember when I taught you about the Psalms? Remember I taught you about the Word of God from the past? Remember when I taught you about those things? Let me teach it to you again, and this time you're going to get it right." Because the next verse in that portion of Scripture says, "And then their eyes were opened, and they understood all things." It wasn't until afterwards that the apostles knew, and this time they knew. They understood all things. The lights finally went on. And the fact that the New Testament writers were the apostles indicated that they have a very good understanding of who Jesus was. But it wasn't until after that. Simon Peter, during this conversation, knew very well who Jesus was. and he knew very well that he was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the only begotten of the Father, the second person of the Trinity, that knows his heart, that knows his heart even better than he knows it himself. Thou knowest that I love you. You know all things. You know that I love you. And now everything is complete. And this is the final restoration and work of reaffirming and reestablishing Peter's position as the great apostle. Lastly, I want to draw your attention to what Christ's response is then to Peter's answers to his question of loving him. And Christ's response is a command. It's a direct command to Peter. After Peter's public profession of his sincere love for Christ, he tells Peter what he must do, being the only conclusion that can be derived from such a profession as Peter just gave. And that is to feed and to tend my sheep. Now here again, three times the command is given. But again, the English translation loses a little bit of the slight differences in the words used. Again, in light of reaffirming and reestablishing Peter's position and calling his position and calling as a true disciple of his, he says, if your profession is sincere, and if it's true, and by the way, Peter, I know that it is, demonstrated by true obedience to my will. So I'll command you. This is my will. I'm not interested in bold talk and high profession. Remember that, Peter? I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in impetuous zeal and a quick draw of the sword. You remember that, Peter? I'm not interested in those things. But I'm talking about steadfast, enduring, patient, laborious effort to care for others by teaching and by the demonstration of my word. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. He uses lambs in the first command, in verse 15, signifying perhaps the young, the tender, the novice, the immature, the babes in Christ. Feed them. They need to be fed. Otherwise they'll wither. They need to be fed. And then the next two instances he uses sheep. Sheep, the more mature Christians perhaps. Not the babes in Christ, but the ones that are the disciples that of course need to grow. He uses the word feed my sheep. He uses two different words here. In verse 15 and 17, it simply means to give them food, to feed them. And it is no surprise that Jesus is using figuratively. Obviously, Jesus isn't expecting Peter to quit his fishing business and go into raising sheep. That's not the intention here, obviously. He's using it figuratively to preach the word, to teach the word to my people. That's what he's saying when he said, feed my sheep. In verse 16, he uses the word tend my sheep, which signifies a little bit more of the governing and the rule, the spiritual oversight that you have, being an apostle, over those that I give unto your care. Some say, well, that's only for the minister. Jesus is speaking to Peter, and he's speaking to a minister. He's not speaking to me at all. No, Jesus is speaking to us, each and every one of you. Are you not shepherds in your own household as parents? Are you not one who is more equipped to feed and to tend those that you may take under your wing? A new convert, perhaps. A friend who is in need of spiritual counsel. There is a direct correlation between the love of Jesus and the obedience of preaching and teaching his word. We read earlier, if you love me, do what I command you, Jesus says. He says, if you are not obedient to me, if you don't obey my words, my law, you do not love me. The two are connected. You cannot love me and not obey me, and not hold my word, the truth of Scripture, dear to your hearts, more than you would hold anything else. And never forsaking and never compromising the truth of my word. This morning, beloved of God, consider, seriously, consider your love for Jesus Christ. Again, by your simple profession, by your simple profession of being a Christian, of knowing the Lord, of saying you love Him, you bear His name upon yourself. Do you bear it in sincerity, as He tested Peter? In sincerity and in truth, has the Lord tested you concerning your love and dedication to Him? Remember, He knows your heart, and He knows it better than you know it yourself. He knows your heart, for He knows all things. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you need not ask us anything that you do not already know. And yet you do ask us. As a matter of fact, we are faced with your questioning day after day. Again, it is not because you do not know us. It is because you know that we need to know ourselves better than we think we do. And so may we welcome those questions, Lord, and may we answer them from a heart that is devoted to you. May we be able to say with Simon, son of Jonah, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. We ask it in His name. In their last minute.